You have a feel for how this budget will impact Western Illinois?
The budget impact to Western Illinois, they will see very little difference from last year. The universities, the community colleges, for all intents and purposes, their budget was flat with last year. And so the impact should not be significant at all, except for what we always see as far as normal cost raising and perhaps maybe we'll see some normal growth to coincide with that. I think one of the things we see with the universities more than anywhere else is the number of retirees. Lately, certainly it has been higher than we perhaps had anticipated. So that'll be a struggle for the universities to attract new folks to fill those positions that are currently empty.
Can they afford to bring in new people?
Well, they're going to have the same budget they had last year. Whether or not we can attract the quality of individual that we had been accustomed to is going to be the challenge, given just the status of the state of Illinois overall.
It sounds like this region won't especially be hurt by the budget, but there's really no gain or benefit this time around either.
There really isn't, Rich. And one of the things we have to keep in mind is the budget, for all intents and purposes, while the state constitution says it has to be balanced, this budget really isn't balanced because we are using a $650 million, what they're referring to as interfund balance budgeting. So we're sweeping $650 million from other state funds. They are not specified in the budget, so essentially they can come from anywhere. And that's $650 million that's going to have to be paid back.
Where do you fear that money might come from?
Well, I think that probably the governor will look at all of the state budget funds, and a lot of those come from licensing fees and fees in general, user fees. Oftentimes we see them swept from areas in Department of Professional Regulation. And I don't know if you remember, a couple of years back, there was some serious problems within the area of real estate because we had swept a number of those funds. And also in pharmacy, we use some pharmacy dollars currently in higher education to fund the two pharmacy schools that we have in the state. So I suspect there could be more borrowing from those type of funds as well.
Those are funds that are paid for, I guess, with fees that are supposed to go specifically to something, and instead it's going to be pulled into the general fund.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying?
Exactly. Exactly.
What about the income tax increase? Do you think the Democratic-controlled legislature will wait until after the November election to approve that, extending the income tax increase?
I don't think there's any question in my mind that that's the intention.
What if Bruce Rauner is elected governor? Do you think they'll still do that?
Somebody's going to have to pay these bills somehow. So whether or not it's done by putting the income tax increase back in place fully, or if it's done a percentage, I think that that's certainly all of that's going to be on the table, definitely.
Have you heard anything from your fellow Republican Bruce Rauner as far as his plan for funding state services?
I have not. I had a meeting with a small group with Bruce a couple of months ago, but it was all very general and just more of an introduction. But as far as specifics, no, I have not.
Would you like to see some sort of changes in the revenue structure for the state, how it generates income?
I would like to see some changes made in how we spend our dollars, certainly. I did sign on to a bill that my Democrat colleague, Representative Fred Crespo, had in the last couple of days, and that would have us take a very long, hard look at how our grant dollars are spent. We spend millions and millions of dollars in grants in the state of Illinois, and for all intents and purposes, there's very little oversight. So I think that that's kind of a start that Fred got behind with Senator Katowski. And I think that that is somewhere that we need to be sure that the dollars that we are spending are being used appropriately and for the mission that they're intended. And I think we learned a very valuable lesson with the Neighborhood Recovery Initiative grant money. And it appears to me that that money is still in the budget. It's just been shuffled off into different areas that we're yet to identify.
How well do you know the budget? I mean, I imagine it's a big document, and it all seems to come together at the last minute. I mean, how well are you still discovering things in the spending plan?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and not just the budget plan, but that we also had a bill for reappropriation of the capital dollars. So that bill was introduced at 11 o'clock on a particular day in the 11 a.m.
Oh, okay.
And it came to the House floor for a vote at 1. And the document is 1,140 pages. I fully intend on going through that 1,140 pages to see exactly what's in it. But how people could be expected to do that in 3 hours was definitely disingenuous.
Do you at least know how that will be paid for?
That particular bill that I'm referring to
is the
capital bill. So that's the reappropriation of a lot of the projects that were either in Illinois First or Build Illinois. I'm just wanting to be certain that we haven't had some add-ins in there and that money isn't going places that it wasn't intended to go in those two capital bills. So that's one thing to look at. The budget, on the other hand, that's going to take a lot of people a very long time going through. And it's my understanding that the governor is going to do some real look at this budget before he signs it. So we still have that before us.
The capital bill, then where does that money come from? Is that bonding or?
That is bonded money.
Okay.
And the last capital bill from back in 2009, those revenues come from three different revenue streams. And there was an increase in the license and registration fee, of course. There was a increase in the liquor tax. And then the third revenue stream is from the video gaming.
Have you had enough time to look at the capital bill to have a feel for what projects are in your district?
The mini capital bill that was passed in addition to the reappropriation of the old capital, the mini reappropriation was at the end of the day, it was a $1.1 billion capital bill. There had been talk of a $1.6 billion, and $500,000 would have gone for member initiatives or special projects, if you will. That was not how it was finally passed. It was strictly the $1.1 billion. The only thing that I have identified in there for my district is about 7 miles of road improvement in Chandlerville. Other than that, that's all that's in there.
You are running unopposed this year for re-election, so how will you spend your summer?
I'm probably going to spend my summer the same way I spend my previous summers. In the district that I represent, all or part of 8 counties, all told there's about getting close to 35 parades a summer. So I try to get to as many of them as I can. Sometimes there's two at the same time or at different ends of the district. So I'm fortunate enough that I have folks that want to go in one direction, and I go with another group in another direction. So a lot of that. I'm a member of the State Ag and Rural Leaders Group, so we have a meeting coming up in Omaha for a couple of days in July. But other than that, I'm going to be spending my time in West Central Illinois.
You mentioned agriculture. Were there any ag-related bills that people in this region might want to be aware of?
There really was nothing significant in agriculture this year. There was, some legislation that was introduced, but really, for all intents and purposes, none of it went anywhere. The budget for the Department of Agriculture looks to be fairly flat with last year. So there should not be a lot of significant change within the department. There was some more money put into a Forever Green program, which, as I understand it, is a tree program for the emerald ash borer that we have significant issues with, certainly in Illinois, to replace a lot of those trees. So that's about the only increase that I saw in the budget was for that specific program.
So because so many of the state lawmakers come from the Chicago area, is that why there was less to do with agriculture this year? Is it just a quiet time right now in the state? Is there nothing, I guess, controversial or no big issues being pushed right now?
Well, one of the things the Department of Agriculture has on their plate, if you will, that they have to deal with is the medical marijuana program. There should have been money in the budget for that. There is not for the dispensaries and that kind of thing. That's going to be a challenge for them, how they're going to implement that program without that money. But as far as agriculture overall, there was not a lot of significant issues. And I would say that for most farmers, they're very glad of that. The less the government has to do with them, the better off they are.
What about medical marijuana? Did you vote in favor of the dispensaries and cultivation centers?
I did not vote in favor of the medical marijuana bill, mm-hmm. The first bill that was passed. This session, we did have a trailer bill, if you will, to the medical marijuana bill that would have included a drop. It's a liquid form of medical marijuana, and it is used for children with epilepsy. There was testimony given in our Human Services Committee that I serve on one morning for a couple of hours, and it was parents and pictures of their children and parents that the family are split. The children and perhaps the mother or the dad are living in Colorado because they have access to this liquid form of marijuana, and their children have been helped through their seizures significantly. Some no longer have seizures. Others, their seizures are down from 100 a day to 20 a day. So that bill I did vote in favor of. I think that if we can do something for children that has been proven and it works, I think that's significant.
What about medical marijuana overall? Are you confident the state is going to have the rules and regulations in place to run this properly and make sure that we don't have marijuana flooding the streets?
I'm hopeful, Rich. I think that we certainly have learned a lesson from some of our colleagues in other states that the program has not gone so well. And Illinois in general, be it medical marijuana or fracking, whatever the issue, we have a tendency to overregulate. And in the case of medical marijuana, I don't think that's a bad idea.
All right. It looks like there could be a lot of statewide referenda on the ballot this fall. What do you make of that?
I think that was probably intended by the Speaker Madigan, so that he could fill up the ballot with as many of his referendum as possible and keep out a lot of other referendum that my colleagues and I on the Republican side of the aisle would have liked to have seen.
What else would you have liked to have seen on the ballot?
Well, I'd certainly like to have seen a referendum on the fair map proposal. The way that we draw the map in the state of Illinois is antiquated and, for all intents and purposes, it's wrong. It's not fair to the residents of Illinois, the taxpayers of Illinois, but it's the way that the speaker has done it for all these years, and that makes it okay. So I would have liked to have seen that referendum certainly on the ballot. I would not have been adverse to seeing a referendum on term limits for leadership as well. I think that it's come high time that we see that in the state of Illinois.
Do you think this might be the way things are done more frequently in the future, is if there's a controversial issue or something that's really dividing the legislature, that you put it to the vote of the people, even if it's a non-binding referendum, just to get some input?
I don't think it's a bad thing. But, for example, Rich, one of the referendum we're going to see on the ballot is regarding the millionaire's tax. The way that referendum is worded is very misleading. And it starts out by saying, would you like to see more funding for children and education by taxing whatever it is, 3% on millionaires? Who's going to say no to that? I just – the way things are worded, it's not really fair. And there's another referendum that was passed at literally in some of the last moments of session, and that was included in the new elections laws, and it's the referendum for minimum wage. So how that became germane in early voting legislation, I wasn't quite sure, but I'm sure that they can make the argument because it has to do with elections.
Yeah, with referenda, I guess you often see that. The wording is a big part of it, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You bet.
All right. Anything you want to add?
I think one of the, we have to look for the silver linings, particularly in years like this. And one of the things that was accomplished, and it was done on a bipartisan basis, was to really, for all intents and purposes, rescue 911. I think that might have been a TV show even. But many of our 911 centers, particularly in our rural areas, were suffering. And they are going to see an increase in their funding. The 73 cents on the dollar that was coming back to 911, they were only getting about 65 cents of that. So they're going to see an increase in the money, and we think that it's going to be significant and level off a lot of our 911 centers that were suffering. And it also extends the sunset date out to 2015, which is important because of the telecom rewrite and everything comes due at that time. So I think that that was a very, very, very good thing that happened.
Those centers are suffering because they were relying on, I guess, a tax or a fee on landlines.
Yes.
And so many people have switched now to cell phones. Many people
Right.
don't even have a landline at home.
Exactly. And the money was literally disappearing, and these centers were trying to keep their head above water and provide the service, and it wasn't being done. So that is going to be a significant change. Also, there's going to be audits of the 911 centers to be sure that they're spending the dollars appropriately and on services that are included in the legislation.
Where will the state money for the 911 centers come from?
It comes from the Illinois Commerce Commission, through the Illinois Commerce
mm-hmm.
Commission. It will have some oversight with the new legislation. It'll have some oversight from the state police, which is a very good thing. That combined with the audits actually explaining and outlining in detail what the money can be used for and what it can't be used for, I think is going to be very helpful.
All right. That should do it unless you want to add anything else.
No, I'm good.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.